Morning. The City Council will come to order. Today is Wednesday, May 27th. This is our morning meeting. It's 9:30. Carla, will you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. We are all gathered together. Can you please read the title of the first communications, Council Calendar Item Number 685?
Request of Shirley Lumiere to address council regarding public funding of a private charter school.
Ms. Luminaire?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the City Council.
Good morning, Mayor.
We're glad
City
you're
council
here.
Members.
You just have to give us your first and last name. Please have a seat. It's for the record.
Shirley.
And you'll have 3 minutes in that clock on that big hunk of wood in front of you. That'll give you sort of the countdown of when your 3 minutes are up. So we're glad you're here.
Thank you. Gentlemen, I kind of use this as a ruse, truly. I've studied political speak for 30-odd years, so I know exactly what your response regarding that matter will be. Actually, what I came to speak about was surveillance of private citizens. I wanted to find out exactly what the laws are concerning that matter and also concerning the policies on wiretapping.
So this is an opportunity for any citizen to sign up and have 3 minutes to say anything they want. It's broadcast on cable TV, but it's not interactive. So is that the question that you had?
Well, I'm concerned because I found out that my phones are actually being tapped. A friend of mine told me this because she kept hearing all kinds of oddities and all kinds of things regarding wiretapping on the line, and then actually they also confirmed that my phone was being wiretapped. Mm-hmm. So I'm really very concerned about it. I've lived in 10 U.S. cities, and never ever have my ever has my telephone been wiretapped. I'm concerned about surveillance. I feel that there's some kind of surveillance going on, and I'm concerned about it.
Well, if you could, I think it'd be best if you talk to Michael Mills, who's mm-hmm. the ombudsman,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just looking for a staff person that can. Could one of our security folks,
George Hawker, could you talk to this lady about Michael Mills for me?
So George will guide you to Michael Mills' office, and he's mm-hmm. the city's ombudsman, and he can look into that issue for you.
Okay, and then the last matter I have is called entrapment. I feel that on a couple of occasions, some kind of entrapment was taking place as I was walking down the street. I guess there was some kind of prostitution roundup or something within the city. And I think a couple of undercover gentlemen tried to entrap me. Okay. So these are my concerns regarding, this is why I came before you today, gentlemen.
Well, thank you for taking the time to sign up, and we will connect you with Michael Mills, who is the ombudsman, and he can look into these issues for you.
Excellent.
Thank
All
you,
right,
Ms.
gentlemen, have a great day. And ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Luminaire.
I was wondering.
Could you please read the title for Council Communications 686?
Request of L.A. Wachowski to address council regarding beekeeping in Portland.
Mr. Wachowski? Hi. Welcome to the City Council.
Thank you. I needed that.
You just need to give us your first and last name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Lawrence Wachowski. An overview of beekeeping in Portland. In 1992, the City Council, with public hearings, passed Ordinance Number 167649 concerning beekeeping in Portland. Section 1, Part 4 stated, "It is the city's best interest to encourage and facilitate the keeping of domestic bees as a benefit to horticulturalists and an asset to Portland's ecological health," unquote. The basic requirement was that neighbors be notified of a hive in the area. That part of the resolution has never been officially amended. Commissioner Leonard's office has agreed to alter the ordinance, stating that honeybees are stinging insects that cause anaphylactic shock and require 100% signed permission from neighbors. This fear factor approach was a unilateral distortion of the ordinance. Since obtaining 100% written permission is nearly impossible, beekeepers are willing to illegally put a hive on their property by taking a don't tell policy. The upshot is that no accurate records exist that would help in tracking disease. Also, nearly 100% of all beekeepers in Portland are illegal. Encouraging compliance by adhering to the original ordinance with notification would eliminate the present situation. The 1992 City Council, with reason, common sense, and public hearings, saw that honeybees are a useful part of the city's landscape. Now they are considered a threat to public health and safety. This present view should be dropped in adherence to Ordinance Number 167-649, with notification reinstated as the regulating standard. Should you have any questions, please use my contact information. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rakowski, for your testimony. Sue, can you please read the title for Council Communication 687?
Request of Ibrahim Murabek to address Council regarding homeless issues.
Mr. Mubarak? Mr. Mubarak? Hi.
Mubarak.
Good morning, Mr. Mubarak. Welcome to the City Council. You'll need to give us your first and last name, and that clock will help you count down your 3 minutes.
My name is Ibrahim Mubarak.
I'm Julie McCurdy.
We're here on behalf of the homeless people. We represent the homeless people that's living in the streets and tents. And my name is Ibrahim Mubarak, one of the founders of Dignity Village, a homeless advocate and community organizer. As a community organizer, I have connection with spiritual groups and various homeless advocates and service in the metro area. We propose the city as a whole to allocate some land to provide a solution that has risen due to the conflict from the sit and lie ordinance and the epidemic of homelessness. We are especially looking for land that is not out of the range of service, where the working poor can afford a safe place to stay. The primary goal is to get people off the street while they are waiting for housing. The rates would be $3 a day or $18 a week to pitch a tent. This site would also provide a designated area for families. The current sit-and-lie ordinance enforces financial penalties to individuals without an income. By not paying citation, it creates a criminal record for the homeless who have no prior conviction. If Father continues this cycle of homelessness by creating another barrier to finding jobs, thus reinforce this vicious pattern of dependency. Furthermore, the shelters are overcrowded due to the current economic crisis in America. Currently, shelters can offer certain hours of service. These hours do not comply with the various work shifts available for people in need of fluctuating employment. In addition, shelters are turning away homeless people due to lack of beds. We have identified certain lots owned by the city and would like to work with the City of Portland towards a common goal. We are not trying to create an additional Dignity Village, but a location where low income to no income can find shelter or relief from the sit and lie ordinance. We are seeking to open land for temporary tent structures, as temporary setup and infrastructure would be minimum to the support of growing transitional populace. We ask for your assistance and identify city-owned land or decommissioned school properties and work towards ending homelessness in Portland. In the past, Portland was a pioneer in creating a tent city. In the past, and now other cities follow suit. By expanding this existing method, we can be pioneers once again as we adapt to the current economic and homeless crisis.
Thank you, Mr. Mubarak. Appreciate your testimony. Commissioner Fritz?
Mr. Mubarak, thank you so much for your leadership on this issue, and this is going to be part of the discussion that we'll be having over the next couple of months as we reevaluate the whole system. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sue, can you please read the title to Council Communications Number 688?
Request of Derry Jackson to address Council regarding abandoned vehicle program.
Mr. Jackson?
You did say Derry, right?
That's Derry, correct?
D.
Correct.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Jackson.
Good morning,
Welcome
Jack.
To the City Council. Glad you're here.
I wish I would say it was an honor to be here, but it isn't.
You only need to give us your first
My
and
name
last
is Derry.
The clock will help you count down your 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Derry Jackson,
Some of you guys know me. I know some of you. But the bottom line is I'm here to talk about my issue. I noticed your clock back there says our time. That is a message perhaps to you. Because you're every minute you're sitting here, you're on our time. I am here now on my time. I actually should be teaching some of Portland's worst kids right now in high school. But instead, I am here talking to you. Okay? Why? November 1st, my car, it's a car that I've been saving for my now 16-year-old son, was towed by the city of Portland. This is a nice little picture of this pony. Vehicle I bought for my wife, ex-wife, who thought it best to just leave it behind along with me. Fine, I got a car. But it's an extra car. Its tags were good. As you notice, it's a Mustang. These are not necessarily the best thing with gas. Okay? We drive the other car. A little four-banger, a little six-banger, actually. I got a phone. I actually came up one day, as I usually am. I believe in my city. I love my city. If I see a piece of trash on the ground, I'm going to pick it up. I picked up a piece of trash that was strewn in front of my neighbor, in front of my car, getting ready to crush up, throw it in the garbage, flipped it over, and noticed it was that bright green sticker that I've seen on my block several times. Turns out, it actually had my tags on it. Good tags. Insurance good, plates good, everything's good. I noticed this was November 6th. 6 days after it was put on my car. Notice this is a rag top. One of the things I inherited was the fact that the rag top was damaged, so we had to put a tarp over it to keep the weather from going in. Whoever it is, well, actually, right, I'll call her name. Sherry Lehman in the city tow office came to my property, despite the fact that the tags were good, had the audacity to put a tag on my car, telling me it's because my car was flat. My tire was flat. Now, granted, she put it on a piece of tarp. It doesn't take long for adhesive to pull away from tarp and drop off. It was 6 days before I realized that my car was in jeopardy. I call, got a real nice person in the office. Today, I still don't know her name. Nobody in that office will give me her name. She gave me the facts. I wasn't satisfied with that. She told me, basically, Mr. Jackson, your car is flat. You just need to air the tire up. It'll be fine. It's considered disabled and abandoned. A Mustang. I called the office the next day because I was not comfortable that I did not speak to the person that tagged my car. I spoke to Sherry Lehman. Ended up having an interesting conversation with her, and I think I managed to piss her off, which is why I got, how much seconds I got, a minute?
You're out of it, but go ahead and finish up.
Tell you what, I'll wrap it up. Bottom line is, I spoke to the woman 4 o'clock that afternoon. I told her I'm off the next day, Friday. Took off that day. It's a day off. One thing about teachers, you get a lot of day off. Well, apparently, it seems like that. This was one for me. You know, the woman was at my door down there 8 o'clock that morning and put a ticket on my car. Despite the fact that I spent the entire day fixing that car, by afternoon, my car was gone. And whoever it is probably sat on that block and watched me work on my car. And all I did was air up the tire and clean it. I hate cleaning cars. I aired the car and cleaned my car. Went to a football game. By the time I got back, it was gone. Bottom line, you guys got my car. You've already sold it. Thank God. My problem is already taken care of because you guys have canceled this department, which is good.
We have
it. Because I'm going to tell you something.
We did fund it.
I know. I'll tell you something. The last thing you want is for me to get a bone and come after the city about the nonsense because I believe that department have been responsible for stealing people's cars, primarily in the east side of town. People just like me who may not have a whole lot of money to go pay for lawyers and all this kind of nonsense. It's not fair. I guarantee you, this was part of my discovery. I guarantee you, this nonsense is not happening on the West Hills.
So, Amy Stevens, who's my public
advocate. Listen, I don't want anything from you.
Mr. Jackson, I'm speaking now. Amy Stevens, who's my public advocate, is available to you if you want to speak to her and can advocate for you. She's up in my office. If you're interested. If you're not, that's fine, too.
Honorable, I am frustrated, man. I've been fighting courts for almost 3 years now. What I found is this place is reek with incompetence.
So this happened 3 years ago?
No. This has happened. It actually happened in 07.
Okay.
In 07. I took him to court. I took you guys to court. You know,
I wanted to make available to you this advocacy if you want it.
I appreciate it, man. I just don't know. I don't have time for this.
All right.
I've got to work for a living. By the way, this is how we pay for all of this. The more time I take off, the more money you don't have for your taxes.
Or we can call and follow up if you prefer.
What I want is that Sherry Lehman fired.
All right. Thank you for coming to provide us with your testimony. We're available to follow up if you want.
Thank you. I might take you up on that.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Could you please read the title for Council Communications number 689?
Request of David Regan to address Council regarding hassle-free camping zone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council.
Thank you. I don't know Mr. Jackson or his situation exactly, but let me just make a follow-up comment on what he's experienced. For many people today who are in dire straits economically, their car has become their home. And trigger-happy taggers for the city can be, in effect, evicting people and sending them into a life of the streets, life on the streets. We really need, I want to encourage the council to encourage leniency and, you know, put up with the eyesore, keeping in mind that it may be the only thing between someone, even families, and the streets at this time in our the economic downturn. I'm here to talk about a homeless garden project for Portland, maybe. There's a lot of momentum building, especially among permaculturalists and gardening advocates, of which I am one, and green work advocates generally, for developing a number of communities in the Portland area and modeled after. Our model would be the Homeless Garden Project, aptly named. You can Google it up, in Santa Cruz, California. I sent each of you an email. I'm sorry for the garbledness of it. A couple of you had an extra link in there. I just got a new laptop, and I'm trying to learn Microsoft Outlook, and it's all screwed up. But if you'll read your emails, you'll get one from Residential Worksites Committee. That's me. And I also gave you hard copy letters yesterday delivered to your offices late. Those will be in your mailboxes. Explaining about how we believe it's possible, this new committee that I'm a part of, Committee for the Development of Residential Work Sites for Green Training in Agriculture and Economics. I know that's a long name, but it explains what we want to do, so that's useful. We're advocating for the development of green communities, gardening communities, likened to the one in Santa Cruz. It's a good model. Where they'll take people off the streets and get them out of the city center, away from all the vices and the problems of being idle in the city center, establishing them in gardening communities, hopefully on idle public lands that are now being looked at through the land use policy changes, the urban growth boundaries and rural preserves process. Close to mass transit and close enough to the city center that they can still come in for services or to work jobs. There's a lot of working poor today that aren't able to afford housing. And yet far enough away so that they won't be hanging around the city center. It's not good for anybody. There's a lot of vices. Not that I'm against people being able to congregate wherever they will. But these gardening projects, there's a number of them. The Santa Cruz one isn't the only one. You're probably familiar with this book. Van Jones, the author of it, has very recently been appointed by the Obama administration to as a special advisor on green jobs. I'm almost out of time. Please read my email and my letters that I put in your box. It could be the cheapest possible housing, combination housing, work, and food security policy that the city would consider adopting in the coming years.
So I appreciate your testimony today, and if you want to stop by up in my office and ask for someone, Amy Ruiz, Megan Ponder, or Lisa Libby, it'd be great if you have the time to just stop by on your way out.
All right. Which they were Lisa Libby, Amanda?
Lisa Libby, Megan, or Amy Ruiz.
Or Amy Ruiz.
And that's just on the third floor, Perrin. Just if you've got a minute to introduce yourself. And we're familiar with the Santa Cruz model, so that's
good.
Something that we've been talking about. Thank you.
I'm sorry to go over, but I do want to thank you again for restoring the $6.7 million a few weeks ago. I really don't think we're going to be able to keep that up, and that's why I want you to take a hard look at this this kind of a new approach.
Thank you, sir. So, Carla, can you please? Oh, we've got to do the consent agenda. Is there any item that anyone wishes to pull off the consent agenda? I'd like to pull off. Which one is it? 702. And I think that's it. Beyond that, Sue, would you please call the roll on the consent agenda item minus 702?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. That moves us to the first of two times certains. Sue, can you please read the title for council calendar item 690?
Declare May 27th through June 7th, 2009, to be Great Blue Heron Week in Portland.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor.
Seems appropriate that Commissioner Fish would be reading the proclamation for the Great Blue Heron Week.
Have your fun. Thank you. I'm going to hand out the calendar of events from my colleagues, and I have a brief introduction. While I'm making the introduction, I wonder if Bob Salinger and Mike Howe could come forward. We have a proclamation this morning celebrating Blue Heron Week, and today marks the beginning of our official celebration. Each year since the Portland City Council adopted Blue Heron, the Great Blue Heron, as the official city bird in 1986, we have celebrated this majestic bird and all the conservation and restoration efforts in our city and the greater Portland region. Great Blue Heron Week is an opportunity to get out in a kayak, on a bicycle, or on foot, or I should say also in a sternwheeler, to enjoy our great green spaces and riverways. All trips and events listed in the program are free unless otherwise noted. For a full description of all Great Blue Heron events and trips, you can go to www.audubonportland.org and click on to Great Blue Heron Week. Bob Salinger is the conservation director at Audubon Portland, and Mike Houck, as you know, is with Urban Green Space Institute. And they both are here today to tell us why the Great Blue Heron is unique and important. But before they speak, I'd like to read the proclamation into the record. Whereas the Great Blue Heron is a majestic symbol of the City of Portland's effort to restore, protect, and manage ecologically healthy habitats for fish and wildlife and for the enjoyment of citizens, and whereas the Great Blue Heron Week is an appropriate time to restore our commitment to our natural environment by celebrating our past successes and future challenges, and whereas over the last year, the City of Portland has begun to restore its 45 acres of Ross Island that was donated by Ross Island Sand and Gravel, and further protecting the shoreline through supporting a no-wake zone designation for the Holgate Channel and Ross Island Lagoon. And whereas the City of Portland continues to distinguish itself as one of the country's leaders in using green infrastructure by better integrating the built and natural environments and addressing global climate change through its Climate Action Plan. And whereas the City of Portland recognizes, in collaboration with its regional partners, the value of connecting green, an effort to create the world's best parks, trails, and natural areas system. And whereas the City of Portland continues to work with partners from the Audubon Society of Portland, Urban Green Spaces Institute, the Friends of Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge to restore habitat at Oaks Bottom, one of the region's first official urban wildlife refuges. And whereas the City of Portland over the last year continues to build cooperative relationships with volunteers, nonprofits, surrounding cities, regional, state, and federal government to further our natural resources goal. Now, therefore, on behalf of the City of Portland, I, Commissioner Nick Fish, and more importantly, Sam Adams, as Mayor of the City of Roses and Herons, does hereby proclaim the period of time from May 27th through June 7th, 2009, to be Great Blue Heron Week in the City of Portland and encourage all residents to observe the celebration by participating in the many trips and special events hosted by nonprofit organizations and government agencies. Gentlemen?
Great. Well, it's the 23rd year that I've been here before City Council, after having worked with then-Mayor Bud Clark. Mayor Clark had been giving a speech at the Hilton Hotel before a group of natural resource managers, and during his presentation mentioned great blue herons at least 15 times, so I went outside with him afterwards and said, you know, I really think the great blue heron should be our official city bird. And it may sound frivolous to folks on the face of it, but the reality is what's been most wonderful about this event is that for 23 years we've had the opportunity to sit here and hear from City Council what the City of Portland has done over the preceding years to improve, protect and improve habitat, not just for herons, but for all the critters that the herons represent. So I'd just like to say we appreciate, once again, having the opportunity to hear what we've done and as importantly, or perhaps more importantly, what needs to be done yet. Bob will make a few comments on that in that regard. I would like to invite all of you to come on as many events as you can. As Commissioner Fish mentioned, he'll be coming along with us on May 31st, I think it is, in the evening for a sternwheeler cruise around Ross Island, which is one of the premier events of the week. And I just remind you all, to my knowledge, I don't think any of you have actually paddled all the way around Ross Island with us yet. I know we've had several conversations with Commissioner Leonard, and I would like to invite you
I swim it regularly. So.
Yeah.
On June 7th.
Usually during outflows.
On June 7th, we'll launch from Willamette Park and do about a two and a half hour paddle around the Ross Island. We call it the Ross Island Archipelago. I don't know if you have to make a formal public meetings announcement if more than two or three of you were to come along, but perhaps if you stayed 200 to 300 feet apart, it wouldn't constitute a public meeting. So I encourage you to come along and have a great time with us. Bob, you want to?
Thank you, Mr. Huck. Mr. Salinger.
Good morning. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the conservation director for the Portland Audubon Society, and thank you for the proclamation. Last year, some of you recall, I snuck a live peregrine falcon into City Council for the proclamation. This year, I don't have anything so dramatic. But I think the importance of protecting birds and recognizing the importance of protecting birds in the urban environment was really highlighted recently by a report that came out from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They issued a State of the Birds report, which was the most comprehensive study of birds in North America ever done. And it tells us that 25% of the birds in North America are declining steeply over the last 40 years. And it also, for the first time, recognized urban habitats as an important habitat type. So they're actually putting it up there with grasslands and forests and oceans and recognizing urban habitats as a specific type. So the city was really about 2.5 decades ahead of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in recognizing that importance. We've had some great accomplishments over the last year, and I congratulate you on two in particular. The decision on Colwood Golf Course, I think, was a very significant step for birds, and that was upheld by LUBA this week, so that's great to hear. And secondly, the No Wake proclamation that occurred a while back, that will be, we're going before the Marine Board tonight to see if we can make that official. We'll also probably be coming back. We've talked to Paul Van Norton a good deal about some sort of noise ordinance out there. He's very interested in doing some sort of noise ordinance in a natural area, and we thought that might be appropriate to get rid of some of the boom boxes that are out there. So we'll probably be coming back to you in the next year with that. A little bit of exciting news this week. One of our bridges set an all-time record for peregrine falcons in Oregon, fledging 5 young. That's only happened once before on the West Coast. Usually they fledge between 1 and 4. But we now have a bridge with 5 youngsters on it. That happened once at Beacon Rock in Washington. Now it's happened in Oregon, so that's pretty cool. It tells you what we can accomplish in urban environments. And then a couple of things looking forward. Probably the most important thing coming up over the next year is really working to get our green infrastructure, our stormwater and watershed planning integrated into the entire city planning process. It's been 5 years since the watershed plan was adopted. Greater Green is an important step forward and an important commitment, and we really appreciate the funding that you've put toward that. I think the challenge over the next year is to incorporate it into all the city's business in a way that was promised in 5 years ago, but hasn't quite happened yet. And I see two big opportunities before us. One is the Portland plan. I see that as really the opportunity to upload that and integrate it into the other bureaus. And secondly, the climate change plan, which really doesn't talk a lot about adaptation, talks a lot about mitigation strategies, but not habitat-based strategies. And so I think that's really the challenge before us and the thing we can do for birds, other wildlife, access to nature, and just protecting our ecosystem services. So with that, again, thank you very much for the proclamation, and happy to take any questions.
And if Bed were here, I'm sure he would say, whoop, whoop.
Yes. I can speak for the entire council, and I thank both of you for your persistent, stalwart, creative advocacy on this issue. Portland is a much, much better place because of you, each of your efforts. So congratulations on another proclamation, your 23rd. Seeing another 20, well, every year for the next 23 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mayor, we tried to stump Bob and Mike on KBOO radio last week, and there wasn't a question they couldn't answer, but I have one for Commissioner Leonard, who I know is passionate about fish and fowl, and that is, could you hazard a guess what the top speed of a great blue heron is?
28.3 miles per hour.
Wow. That's pretty astonishing. It's actually 30 miles an hour. And so what we tell the great
blue... I was using the average.
But that's quite astonishing. But we tell the great blue herons on Sandy Boulevard to slow down or we're going to have to ticket them. So
we're going to do a quick picture. Council. Mm-hmm. This is a first for council innovation. Lots of pictures.
No, you're in the middle. You're in the middle.
Yeah. Guests of honor, and we'll hold this up so they can read it. So, yeah, you hold on.
One more time.
Sorry. No.
That's pretty good. I'm going to go one more time without the flash, just in case. Nice.
Thank you. Good job, guys. Take care.
This yours or
ours? That's yours.
We have a very special guest here today, someone that I've had the opportunity to work for when she was a state legislator, someone who has been a tireless advocate on a variety of very important issues, none more important than securing rights and services and recognition and honor for older Americans. And so I'd like to invite County Commissioner Judy Shipwreck up, who will be reading proclamation to declare May 2009 Older Americans Month. Welcome to the Portland City Council, Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Commissioners. Wow, this is really a delight to be here and to hear your meetings. I have to observe that you get to sit closer together than the county commissioners do. It must be because, you know, you just all like each other more than we do.
I'm sure that's what it is.
What I'd like to do is introduce you to what the county commission is going to pass as a proclamation tomorrow, and then I understand that Commissioner Fish is going to read a proclamation. I do want to say that as with all of the speakers who I've heard this morning, including the frustrated ones, I am a huge fan of the city of Portland and of Multnomah County, and I think that it's important to create a positive habitat for older Americans as well as for the fish and the birds and all of the other things here. And in that spirit, May is Older Americans Month. It's a time that we bring attention to issues that affect older adults and explore opportunities to help older residents of the city of Portland and Multnomah County improve their quality of life. This year's theme is Living Today for a Better Tomorrow. It's important that we work together to give older adults the tools that they need to make healthy decisions. So toward that end, the county is hosting an Older Americans Month celebration and a continental breakfast Friday from 8 a.m. to 9:30 in the Multnomah County Building boardroom to highlight healthy aging initiatives. Our program will include presentations on evidence-based exercise for older adults, aging, health, and civic engagement, the Healthy Aging Coalition of Multnomah County. We look forward to you joining us for this event to learn about current health promotion activities, prospects for enhancing the well-being of older adults, and ways our community can become more elder-friendly. And I thank the City Council for your involvement with elder issues. I applaud Commissioner Fish's leadership, and I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow at our county board meeting, Commissioner Fish.
And Commissioner Fish, would you like to read the proclamation?
Thank you, and I should note, and I think this is correct, that this council is representative of a certain grain in this community, because I believe we have four members who are 50 or older. I think the mayor is the youngster here, still in his 40s, but and the demographic trends, which we'll allude to in the proclamation, confirm this. It's my honor to read the city's proclamation. Whereas May 2009 is National Older Americans Month, and this year's theme, Living Today for a Better Tomorrow, reinforces commitments by the county and the city to promote opportunities for baby boomers and older adults to age in healthy ways and help residents prepare for meeting the needs of a rapidly growing aging population. And whereas by 2010, it is estimated that more than 104,000 residents of Multnomah County will be 60 years of age or older, an increase of almost 10,000 people since the decade began. And by 2030, those 60-year-olds are and better, excuse me, by 2030, those 60 years old and better are projected to constitute almost 25% of the county's population. Whereas improving the physical health and emotional well-being of our expanding senior population by encouraging regular exercise, good nutrition, and civic engagement will enhance older adults' quality of life and help moderate demands on our healthcare and social services systems. And whereas elder-friendly community planning, which prizes the value of older adults aging in place, will be integral to ensuring that the city is a good place for our growing number of seniors and people of all ages to live. Now, therefore, and again, it's my honor to stand in for the mayor, I, Sam Adams, mayor of the City of Portland, City of Roses, do hereby proclaim May 2009 as Older Americans Month in Portland and urge all residents to honor older adults by supporting their involvement in community life and activities that promote good health, endorsing efforts that bring generations together to further the common good, and affirming planning approaches that heighten livability for old and young alike.
Yay! Shall we get a picture as well?
Yeah, we have, I think,
we're going to have some
two people
guest
from
speakers.
Elders that just wanted to come up for a minute each just to welcome
come
us.
Come on up. Welcome to the City Council.
Judy, why don't you stay there? You can slide down.
Please, have a seat. Make way for our friend, if you would.
Good morning. My name is Lorraine Griffey, and I'm chair of the Elders in Action Commission. Elders in Action values that the quality of life should never depend on age, and a vibrant community includes the active involvement of older adults. Thank you, City Council and Mayor Adams, for making time to acknowledge this special month, National Older Americans Month. And thank you, Commissioner Shipwreck. I'd also like to thank Commissioner Fish, council members, and Mayor Adams for finding a way to restore the funding for district centers and senior recreation programs. The leadership behind finding solutions is noticed and very appreciated. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Michael?
Good morning. For the record, my name is Michael Egan. I'm finishing up my second term as advocacy coordinator for Elders in Action. And I would like to say how very, very grateful I am for all the courtesies, the unfailing attention that you have provided me over the several years that I've been working. You have done so many things through these very difficult times to ease the burden for the senior citizens of Portland, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Egan. Thank you all.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Get a quick picture.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
All right. Carla, would you please read the title for council calendar item 702?
702, approve cost of living adjustments to pay rates for non-represented classifications and elected officials effective July 1st, 2009. Specify the effect upon employees in the classifications involved and provide for payment.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you could provide us some details on what we're considering today.
Sure. Mayor, Commissioners, Anna Canwood, Assistant Director of the Bureau of Human Resources. The ordinance before you today would authorize a 2.8% cost of living increase for non-represented employees in the city. This is based on the City of Portland in the Consumer Price Index increases. It is the identical number to the increases agreed to in the collective bargaining agreements for all of the represented employees, 2.8%. The cost for non-represented employees is $3.7 million. And the attachments to the ordinance just list the different pay grades as well as provide for increases for seasonal classifications, and a reminder that council's authorized us where minimum wage increases. We have some seasonal classifications where the minimum is at minimum wage, that we would increase that as well.
So we're heading into bargaining season with all of our labor partners except for fire. Is that correct?
We're heading into bargaining with all of our
including fire?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And that'll be a first, correct, that we're doing that all at once?
We've
worked for, I recall, like almost 15 years to get it all on sort of the same alignment. And it would be an opportunity to, as we look at the represented issues related to our represented employees, it would also be an opportunity to look at issues related to our non-represented employees as well, sort of in a comprehensive manner across the board.
Yes, that's the advantage of having all of the negotiate all the agreements at the same time.
And in terms of the CPI, the cost of living increase, the 2.8, how does that compare to previous years?
Last year was higher. Do you remember?
I think it was 3.8. Yeah. It's been a little bit over 3% for a period of time, so it's a little bit lower this year.
Okay, and as we look to the opportunity to, for every position in the city and every classification in the city, or issues related to workplace issues for both represented and non-represented, what will we be looking at for non-represented employees in the next couple of years? What are some of the issues that we'll be working on?
Probably, Mayor, the immediate issue would be we do have two of the city unions are seeking to actually represent probably the majority of the non-represented employees that are eligible for representation. The employees who are not supervisors or managers or otherwise hold a position, such as in my bureau, where they work on collective bargaining matters, which would make them ineligible for representation. That's probably the most immediate on the horizon. One of the reasons that we were looking to doing the bargaining with all of the units at one time was the concerns about increases in our health care trends, but because of the wellness programs and a variety of other factors, actually our trends have not increased anywhere near what they have for insured plans elsewhere. But the issues would be looking again at cost of living. We have a floor and a ceiling in all of our contracts, whether that's an acceptable way to move forward. Some of the other issues just concern the expenses, such as overtime, compensatory time, all of those issues. So it is an opportunity, really, to looking comprehensively at both what we consider to be non-compensation language issues in all of our contracts, as well as the compensation. I can tell you what we found from SAP project and having to configure all of our time evaluation rules into a automatic system, it's really been a nightmare. The contracts, some of them are very old, like DC2, and have inconsistent language from one sentence to the next. So we're hoping to have an opportunity to clean that up. And in the long term, that would save the city money.
And I guess my last question, there might be others on council. In terms of how much city employees are paid, how are the taxpayers assured that, you know, we're paying at market rate? What is the process that the city uses on an ongoing basis to make sure we're paying at what is market?
I'll have David Reese answer that in more detail, but we do, you know, look at what our market rates are on a regular basis to ensure that we're following City Council's policy, which is to pay the average of the market. It's not to pay at the top of the market.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No.
City Council has a compensation policy that is in the personnel rules, the HR administrative rules, and that talks about paying at the average of the market. For each of our bargaining sessions, the class comp unit does take a look at that information provided to labor relations so that that's part of the knowledge that they have for bargaining. For non-represented employees, we had set that originally through a survey. We'll be doing more surveys coming up with this next round of bargaining. We'll be taking a look at the non-represented employees as well. Typically, the cost of living increase is something that has kept us equal with inflation since the time that we set the original wages for both sets of people.
Other discussion from council? Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on council calendar item 702? All right. Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
2.8% is a relatively modest COLA during very tough times. And this budget, while I celebrate the values reflected in the mayor's budget, has not been without pain. $9 million cut from our ongoing budget and dozens of positions eliminated. So people have experienced hardship as we have tried to adjust to this economic downturn. My experience in my first year of service is that the people who work for us are extremely hardworking and dedicated. And they frequently give up other pay opportunities to come work in the public sector. So we are grateful for their service and their hard work, particularly during tough times. I will, of course, support this ordinance, but also note that it does provide a provision which allows any of us to opt out of the COLA, but it would apply to all else as of right. Aye.
Excuse me. Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
I support the cost of living increase. It's important to have all of the wages keep pace with inflation, whether represented or non-represented. I'm looking forward to an engaging dialogue with my colleagues on the council and with all of our employees, represented or not. I have concerns about the step increases and the merit increases, which are add considerably to the cost of contracts and salaries and wages. And I'll be looking forward to evaluating how that is consistent with what happens in the private sector and the rest of the city, and also the issue of the wide range of starting salaries in some classifications that, and the policy, whether we have a citywide policy in terms of what salary new employees start at within a very wide range, because the practice seems to be to start at mid-range or higher, and I'm questioning, especially with the frequent merit and step increases, whether that is cost-effective for citizens. But I do support this cost of living increase. Aye.
And Adams.
I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of our city staff colleagues and managers who we're going to be asking more of than ever with the fact that we have increased demand and the fact that we've had to eliminate positions, authorized positions in the budget. So I just want to note their hard work and thank you for providing the management necessary to keep all this HR work going. Aye.
Thank you.
Approved. Sue, can you please read the title for council calendar item on the regular agenda, 709?
Mayor Adams. Excuse me, I missed a poll. We have two citizens who'd like to speak on the Item 705, which was on the consent, Bureau of Housing and Community Development.
705. Okay, so we need to suspend the rules to reconsider.
So move.
It's been moved and seconded to suspend the rules to reconsider 705 so we can hear testimony. All those in...
You'll need a four-fifths to suspend the rules. So.
Yep. Sue, can you please call the roll on the suspension of the rules?
Fish?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 705 is now back for active consideration. Please read the title.
Thank you. Adopt and authorize submission of a substantial amendment to the 2008-2009 action plan of the 2005-2010 consolidated plan to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to accept a homelessness prevention and rapid rehousing program formula allocation of $4,172,282 and receive payment.
Can you please call up the testifiers?
The testifiers are Michael Callahan and David Regan.
Gentlemen, please come forward.
Thank you.
Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'd like
go ahead and have a seat. And
if I could,
all you have to do is give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Okay. Michael O'Callaghan is my name. And I am currently homeless, and I appreciate the two speakers who spoke before addressing this issue that is huge in this community, and as everybody knows, is going to get even larger in a year. And I can appreciate the concern about homelessness, but my concern, having been on the streets now for about 2 weeks in this phase, is what I call shelterlessness. Very different issue. You know, and I appreciate that the city is getting money and doing something about homelessness, but I don't see any progress on shelterlessness other than if you consider the continual police harassment progress. In my 13 days on the street, I had contact with 16, in quotes, officers. Never had contact like that in my life before. But that's not why I'm here. I don't know if you noticed out front here when I was here for a week, I had my silver bullet parked out there, 2.5 foot high, 2.5 foot wide, 6.5 foot long, $234.27 in construction materials, takes 6.5 hours of labor to build. Gives a human being, two very close human beings, if you will, a warm, dry, secure place. I don't know if any of you read Street Roots or not. But about 3 issues ago, there was an article in there about a woman who was spending her nights on the streets, first time in her life, with her dog. She was awoken at night by a drunk screaming at her to get out of his place. Awoken 3 more times by people offering her protection. Okay? Hopefully, this group will choose to be responsible. Okay? There is a solution. Okay? And the solution can be implemented relatively quickly. And I would appreciate the cooperation of all of you. And I know how bureaucracies work. It's not like you can jump on something and do it in a week, do it in a month. Okay? But you can allow things like Dignity Village, which was a struggle for those people to do that and was opposed all the time. But thank God the solution was found, and I thank you for finding a solution. Okay? There is a solution here, too, with silver bullets. Okay? If these could be quadded in groups of 25, self-sustaining, okay? Can I have a minute more?
Why don't you wrap up, please?
I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Does anyone else wish to testify on Council Calendar Item 705?
Well, again, David Regan, I'm glad that you're getting this money. Thank God Obama was elected. Less than perfect, but we're getting some fun. You're getting some funding, and I'm glad to see that. Let me suggest that if you would consider a new approach where you combine work with housing, with food security, you would be very efficient in the use of this money. I don't know what kind of red tape obstacles there would be to combining something like this, grants like this, with non-traditional housing approaches that might not meet the standards of the lobbyists that are always bothering you for large multimillion-dollar projects. But if you were willing to allow the permaculturalist volunteers of every kind to come in and help homeless folks to build straw bale homes, get some code variances going, to build earth bag homes or whatever on site where they're working, it could be so inexpensive.
Thank you, sir. Sue, would you please call the roll for Council Calendar Item 705?
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your testimony. Aye.
Adams.
Thanks for your testimony. Aye. 705 is approved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance 709?
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement in the amount of $50,000 with the Oregon Department of Transportation for the I-405, I-5 US 26 design workshop.
Someone from transportation here. Steve, you want to come up and quickly tell us why we should approve this?
Morning. I'm Stephen Iwata with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm the manager for the update of the Central City Plan. This is part of a continuation of the work that we did with the I-5-405 Loop study with Mayor Katz. So previously, we had worked with ODOT on the segment between I-5 and I-84 by the Rose Quarter, and we had a similar design effort for the technical staff between ODOT and the city to participate in a design solution for that corridor. This is a similar effort going back to the loop study where we identified the Rose Quarter as one priority area and the South Portland I-405 as the other priority area. So we have an opportunity to do some advanced conceptual planning work in advance of the work we're going to be doing for the Central Portland Plan update, as well as with the urban renewal study that's going on with PDC. So as well as working with PSU on their master plan, which borders that 405. So this corridor has been thought about for 30 years, but we don't have any kind of highway solution to deal with the congestion, the disconnect between the Highway 26 to McAdam and the circulation that's going on in the Corbin neighborhood. So we're trying to look at some solutions that would help implement the South Portland Circulation Plan that council adopted a few years ago.
Questions from council? Commissioner Fritz?
Why is it an emergency ordinance?
We were hoping to be able to proceed with the ODOT work this summer so that we could do this in advance and so we could start the public engagement later on in the fall. So just doing some advanced technical work over the summer with the ODOT staff and a potential consultant.
Didn't you know that you were going to be doing this? I mean, why wasn't it on the calendar a month ago, I guess is my question.
It was part of kind of we weren't sure where we are with our budget at that point in time. And so we were still also negotiating with ODOT and trying to figure out our scope of work and our approach as well.
Thank you.
Anyone wishes to testify on Council Calendar Item 709? Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Thank you for your good work. Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
I appreciate this being on the regular agenda, and thank you for answering my question. I do think, I'm going to speak to my colleagues here, I think we need to ask the Charter Review Commission to look at the issue of emergency ordinances, that there's some ordinances that's no reason to not move forward with it more quickly than 30 days, but it's not exactly an emergency to do it. But it's in the charter that we have to do it this way. So I think that there's an opportunity with the next Charter Commission to look at that issue and to see whether we could get something that's more reasonable. Thank you, though. Aye.
Adams.
Thanks for your work, Steve. Aye. 709 is approved. Can you please read the title for second reading, item 710?
Revised Residential Solid Waste and Recycling Collection Rates and Charges, effective July 1, 2009.
Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Sossman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I'm pleased this is only a 3.48% increase